Chaplain Phil Mihalik, senior priest here at Fort Sam Houston in Greater San Antonio, Texas. This is the first in our series of questions about the Catholic faith from our men and women in uniform. Now, the way we plan to run this series is that if you have questions or concerns about the Catholic faith, you can email them to me and I'll try to address them in a future program. We'll have my email address at the end of the DVD also, but I'll give it to you now. It's philip.a.mahalic@us.army.mil. Remember, there are no silly or dumb questions about our Catholic faith, except the one that you have that you do not ask. Today I'd like to begin with a concern from one of our soldiers. He writes about the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated bread and wine. He says, "We keep hearing that most Catholics don't believe Jesus is really present, that the Mass is a celebration of symbolic commemoration." Now, actually, this is a really good question because this is one of the basic differences between Catholicism and most of the other Christian religions. We believe that the bread and wine actually does become the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Other Christian religions believe it's symbolic. Now, to explain this, and this is going to be a heavy trip, I'm going to take you from two different directions, and trust me, we will come together at the end, and we're going to cover about 2 years' worth of theological study. So to start out, we have to go back about 3,400 years to understand what the term Lamb of God is all about. We go back 3,400 years to the time that the Jews were held in bondage in Egypt. God sent plagues upon Egypt, and Moses kept telling Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and Scripture says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Finally, the last plague came. The angel of death was to pass over Egypt, and every firstborn in every house would die. But God told Moses that if he took the blood of a lamb, male and unblemished, and put it over the doorposts of the Jewish people's houses, that the angel of death would pass over those houses, and the people inside would be spared. Well, the angel of death came, passed over Egypt, and the firstborn in all of the houses of the Egyptians died. Pharaoh finally let the people go. From that time to this very day, the Jewish people celebrate Passover. The way they would do it from the beginning is that the high priest would go into the tabernacle, that's another name for tent, into the Holy of Holies. And they would have two lambs, male and unblemished, and they would draw straws. There'd be one straw long and one straw short, and they would draw straws to see which lamb would live and which lamb would die for the sins of Israel. Then they would slaughter one lamb, sprinkle that blood over the other lamb, and the other lamb would be set free. That was the beginning of the celebration of Passover. Now jump forward, here we go, 1400 years to the time of Jesus. Actually, we're going to Holy Week, and we're going to Holy Thursday. Now we know that Passover was going to take place on Friday, but Jesus didn't celebrate the Passover meal on Friday. He celebrated it on Thursday, and it was at the Passover meal he instituted the Eucharist. So Jesus and his apostles gather on Thursday evening for the Passover meal. Then on Friday, Good Friday, the rest of Jerusalem, the rest of Israel, is preparing for the Passover. At the very same time, the high priests are in the temple, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, choosing which lamb will live and which lamb will die. Jesus is standing on Pilate's balcony. And Pilate is shouting to the people, which one shall I release to you? Shall I give you Jesus or shall I give you Barabbas? And here it is all over again. Which lamb will live and which lamb will die? Jesus became the sacrificial lamb and Barabbas was set free. Now we jump forward another 2,000 years, actually 2,011 years to today, and at the Mass. Just before you receive communion, the priest holds up the host, and he says, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, that's it. That's the sacrificial lamb right there. But where is the lamb who goes free? All of us. All of us are the lambs who go free. And as we come up and we receive that host, the priest or the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion will say to us, the body of Christ. And we say amen, but we're saying so much more. We're saying, I believe it is the body of Christ. Yes, Jesus, I will allow you to enter my life. Yes, Jesus, I will allow you to come into my body. I will allow you once again to take your resurrection within me. I will be your arms, your hands, your eyes, your nose, your mouth. And all of us come together as a part of the body of Christ, the church that we are. Now that gets us through the Lamb of God, but it kind of doesn't answer a few of the questions, like how is Jesus present? What's going on? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit takes us where we are and brings us along as we are able to understand. So at the Last Supper, when Jesus gave them the bread and said, take and eat, if he had said to them, fellas, we're going to call this transubstantiation, they wouldn't have had a clue what he was talking about. But if you'll notice at Mass, part of the words of consecration are, do this in memory of me. Now, this is where some of the Christian religions come in and say, do it in memory of me. That makes it symbolic. But what we have to do is go back and look at it the way the Jewish people would have seen it at that time. And I didn't really understand this until several years ago. I was in Israel and in Jerusalem, and we went to the tomb of David. Now David's been dead, King David that is, he's been dead for what, 3,000-4,000 years? And silly me, I asked the guy, we were in the tomb, I said, where is he buried? And he said, well, he's not here. And I said, well, why do they call this the tomb of David? He said, no, you don't understand. You see, according to Jewish thought, when we remember somebody, it makes them present in a very special way. So at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, do this in memory of me, what he was telling them was taking them, first of all, he was taking them from where they were and bringing them forward and telling them, when you do this, I am present in a very special way. It wasn't until the year of, let's say, 200, when the first catechism of the Catholic Church, the Didache, came out, that we see the theology of both the Trinity and the Eucharist starting to emerge. Up until that time, they simply knew that Jesus was present in a very special way. If some of you have seen the movie Schindler's List, you know, he was a fellow who saved many German Jewish children during the Holocaust. And he convinced the Nazis that their hands were so small that they could get inside these artillery shells and polish them, and that it would be beneficial to the German army. Well, he saved hundreds and hundreds of children from being put to death. And at the end of the movie, we see them all lined up next to Schindler's tombstone. And as they pass by one at a time, they each take a little rock, and they put the rock on top of the tombstone. That rock is symbolic that somebody has thought of that man. And to the Jewish way of thinking, that makes him present in a very special way. Well, we come forward now 2,000 years. And we've talked about the Lamb of God as the sacrificial lamb, who goes free and who doesn't. But I remember when I was 7 years old and I received First Holy Communion, and we were told this is the body of Christ. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I wonder what part I got. Did I get an arm or an elbow or a leg or a thumb? Now, I can't be the only one that's ever thought about it like that. Well, I'll tell you what, it wasn't until the 11th century, that they finally nailed down exactly what the theology of the Eucharist was all about. It seems there was this controversy between two monks. And one monk said that the bread and wine actually changes into the body and blood of Christ. But it would be so horrific for our eyes to look at that it remains under the appearance of bread and wine. Well, the other monk said no. He said, no, it doesn't work that way at all. He said, in order to understand what the Eucharist is about, we have to go back and look at the original scripture. Now, for the first 200 years of Christianity, the Christians had a terrible reputation because they were eating human flesh and drinking human blood. That's cannibalism. Of course, we know today that's not true, but they didn't know that at the time. So the one monk says we have to go back and look at the original Greek to understand what the people understood at that time. That's called, there's a German expression called the Sitzenleben, and that says, what did the people understand 2,000 years ago when these words were spoken? Well, Greek is a much more precise language than English is. For instance, in English we have one word for love. I love my mom, and I love chicken. But we all know there's a difference in the love I have for my mom and the love I have for chicken. But we go to the Greek language and we see that for love they have three words. The first word they have is philia, from which we get our city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The second word they have is eros, from which we get our word erotic. And the third word they have for love is agape. Now, agape is a word that only came into existence at the time of Jesus, because agape basically means love for the unlovable. Remember, prior to Jesus, no one was saved. Everyone was separated from God, and who is unlovable? Obviously, those who are separated from God are unlovable. Well, okay, then we go to our scripture readings and we look at the words Jesus used for the Last Supper, and we find that in Greek there are two words for body. Now, the first word for body is sarx. That's this, flesh, bone, and blood. But the second word in Greek for body is soma. The Greeks differentiated between the body and blood of a person and the substance of what or who a person is. Soma is the essence of what makes you you. For instance, you may go home today and have a terrible accident. You may lose your right arm. Well, obviously your sarx, your physical body, is less. But your soma, your personhood, is still the same. You are still you. Well, the Greeks differentiated in the word body between the physical body, the sarx, and soma. And lo and behold, the word that was used in Scripture at the Last Supper was soma, the substance of the personhood of who Jesus is. So when we receive the body of Christ, we are receiving the soma, the substance of the personhood of who Jesus is. Some people care to refer to this as his glorified body, and that'll work too. But we receive that substance of the personhood so that Christ once again can take his resurrection within us. As we are all, St. Paul tells us, the body of Christ, the church, in the world. Let me leave you with this particular thought. Let us tonight look back across the span between dawn and darkness, and to our conscience say, because of a kind word or deed, the world and the church are better than we lived this day. God bless all of you, and God bless America.